man, week three now, term one up and running, and a nice 44-degree day here in Perth is what we want. It's incredible, isn't it, mate? I stepped outside the office for the first time at midday for 2 minutes today, walking from our department to admin. I almost got sunburned. I couldn't believe it. And then you look around at lunchtime and there's kids playing sport on the oval still.
Oh, right.
Those Australians, mate, they build them strong.
Mate, I'll tell you what, I even told the kids, all my kids today, and a lot of them heard the announcement two times on during recess.
Yeah.
I would have thought they would have just come in just to chill inside the aircon.
You're getting some good numbers in that chess club early on. Mind you, I was on duty a couple of days ago, walking past the room. Like, it was a nice feeling in there. Yeah. I was more happy hanging out in there than keep strolling around in the desert. But it is good. I think it's good to have those options, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And you definitely appreciate air conditioning this time of the year in Australia. Following on from last week with the start of the new year, let's look at starting a new school. Kind of some stuff behind that. Nice. Our experience working at different schools, some red flags to look out for if you're new to a school, and then some possible strategies to help the transition. What do you reckon?
Bro, there's definitely some things that you must take into consideration when starting a new school. It's one of those things that every school has a different thing to offer. But it's the way that you enter into the school.
What's your personal approach first time into the staff room? Where do you sit and how do you know where to sit?
I always look around. If I'm the first there, I try to be early.
Yeah.
On my first day, I try to get there before everybody else if I can.
Leading by example.
And just either perch myself near the back, somewhere in the middle, and then just go from there. And if I'm there later on afterwards, I just sort of work towards hopefully trying to look in the department that I'm in, sitting around.
It's definitely, in my time teaching, it's definitely become more territorial, the staff room, so the departments sit together and things like that. But when I first started, man, like if you and I know, I've said it over and over in different podcasts, if you were a new teacher and mistakenly sat where like a veteran teacher had sat, you'd never hear the end of it, which was kind of like it was played off as banter. It was a little bit traumatic. Yeah. You're sitting there going, well, all right, I'm new to this profession. Don't really know what's going on. And then you got old mate telling you not to sit there.
Yeah.
But we live and we learn, don't we? All right, so before we get into that, let's look at the opening question. What do you appreciate most about teaching? What do you appreciate most about teaching?
I suppose it's systems, it's procedures, it's making sure you've got a program to run by. It's the skeleton stuff that you've got to have.
Yeah.
Everything that needs to be happening, making sure that you've got the resources that you need. When I start a new school, I think one of the big things that I ensure that I have is I've got all my equipment, make sure that I've got the program, make sure I know what I'm teaching to them so the kids know what they know, what we're up to.
Yep.
And it's knowing who's who and try and figure out who's who.
You've jumped the gun on me here, my man. So just in general, what do you appreciate most about teaching? So I think we're both probably pretty similar to. I think it's the making the difference and the, the bigger picture stuff. But, like, I often think that, like, I'm very, like yourself, passionate to be a teacher and it's a tough profession. But if I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't be doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's the patience that you got to consider and it's overcoming challenges for me personally. But, like, I've been at places where I haven't enjoyed teaching as well and had to make choices to get back into the groove. Yeah. Although I did enjoy it, but in saying that, like it's for me, it's definitely the bigger picture, trying to help people or students get to a better life, and it should be one way to do that is through education.
Yeah, I'm definitely one on that one. I love seeing kids get it. I think one of the big things I do love with this job is when you can get through to those kids who have got a bad relationship with whatever topic they're doing, and then all of a sudden you hear these things, oh, this is easy, and then all of a sudden they start to see success. And it's just changing their mindsets.
Yeah.
And you can change a kid like that. That's awesome.
And it does. Like, it lights up their face as well. Oh, yeah. It really does. And that's what it should be. That's what teaching should be. And it's not easy. It's not easy to get there. And it's everything else these days to overcome. But it is. Like, that's to getting the student to overcome those challenges through a difficult part of the curriculum is massive.
And you've got, and throw into the mix, you're always going to have that one, maybe two students that try to go the opposite way. And you've got to deal with that at the same time as trying to keep everyone, enthusiastic about learning, even if it's hard, got to keep persevering. So it's one of those balancing acts that you've got to finally tune, and it doesn't just happen overnight. You sometimes have to work harder with some kids, and some kids you can set a task and off they go. So it's just It's a balance of everything.
Oh, mate, how hard can teaching be? It's only a 9-to-3 job. We get 12 weeks holiday.
Yeah.
That's right. Come and see what we do. Okay, so as I said before, looking at the topic, starting a new school. I think talking point one, there's some background. Our experience with working at different schools. So I'm 16 years in now, worked at 5 different schools, and my math are going to be off here. Most average length's about 3 or 4 years, and average length's about 3 years, 4 years, and most is just over 5 years.
Yep.
So it's been in that short time, there's been some movement, which is good. It started off in the country, which was 2 years to start with, and then down sort of a fair distance from my house. So good school, but just the commute became too long, and then jumped around a few schools, and where we are now. But it's I think one benefit of having that experience in a short time is a lot of the schools I were quite different as well.
Yeah.
Some similarities, but some differences. So when you get to sort of later in your career, I imagine we become sort of more. One thing I would say, like, I'm not eager to jump around schools anymore. I think the starting a new school does take effort, you know, and you are, 'cause you're not just, you're reestablishing everything.
Absolutely.
Your reputation's a big one. You know, the kids, the rapport, working with the staff members, knowing everything, that becomes a bit of a process, having to do it over and over.
Because I'm on the same track, like 3 years, three different schools back home in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
The very first school was out on the island, which is about a 2-hour drive from where I live.
Yeah.
So we stayed over on the island and so forth. But that was an experience in itself. And then coming back to the home from where we grew up, taught there for just under 10 years.
Yep.
Absolutely loved it. Come over here. I think this is my 5th school now in the past 13 years.
Your schools here have been similar size?
Yes.
Student-wise?
Oh, except for one. One was quite big.
Yeah.
I think.
What's your preference? Big schools or smaller schools?
Oh, I prefer smaller schools in a sense. Purely based because you get to know the kids.
You get to know the kids more and the staff a lot more as well, don't you?
I think the only upside to the bigger school is that you have more variety to choose from.
Options.
Yeah. And I had more, so I was more in the sporting area.
Yeah.
So we had more to choose from that we could pull from.
Yeah.
That's the only upside, that you have a lot more to pull from. But smaller schools, more close one-on-one or as best as you can.
Yeah.
So I'd actually prefer small schools. You know more of the kids and kids know you.
And then the different schools here, like behaviour and stuff, and pretty similar, student behaviour.
End of the day, I think that's always going to be the same, irrespective of what school you go to. Yeah, you could go to a real nice school, whatever, but there's always the odd behaviour that you still have to overcome.
Yep. All right, so your plan of attack, starting a new school. So for me, if I'm starting a new school, so it's been about 4 years. This is my 4th year since at the school we're at now. So it's been a while. But my thing starting a new school is definitely just to sit back for probably the first semester, first 6 months, and just see how things operate in the school. I think you get a sense of where the school's at, where the people are at.
Mm.
You know what's happening, what's not happening. Just make sure all my stuff is in order. I'm doing my job to the best of my ability. But I'm not going out of my way to take on extra stuff these days to start. I think I just want to get an idea of where everything's at for those first 6 months. I know it probably is different now because I'm a bit older and in my career longer. And probably when I was a younger graduate, which is you probably jump in and take everything on because you want to be seen as, you know, you want to be seen as the leadership capacity, I guess, or you're doing everything right, which I definitely was. But like we talked about before, that can have consequences as well. I think dealing with staff, if I'm new to a school, always positive, always respectful. Like any workplace, people and teaching can have possibly drama going around and want to, you know, whatever the term, social politics, get sided with certain places. I always just sort of stay out of that and just hear people out. But don't entertain it, just make my own decisions up, which again helps when you're a bit older and further in your career. These days, I think, especially in the leadership position, you get more fine-tuned to, you want to imagine most people who are there for the right reasons are trying to hit you up for the right reasons, but sometimes it feels like there is an agenda possibly not saying it's happening where we are now, but I'm definitely, you learn to think that way, I guess. And read people a bit more.
Oh, I like what you're saying about going into a new school and what you sort of figure things out. one thing I know that I try and do, make sure that I'm doing the best that I can in my area that I've been put into.
Yeah.
At the same time, I also bring across this no nonsense that, you know, this is the line drawn in the sand.
Yeah.
Don't put a toe over it. If you do, I hope someone does. We'll whack that toe off.
In a classroom.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just sort of laying down the boundaries as to what everybody can do. And even with staff members, when staff members come into your room or into a thing, it's the same that they follow the same sort of, like it's a natural respectful thing that we have towards each other.
Yeah.
I.e. when someone from student services might come into the room, they'll do the same thing, knock on the door, welcome them in, and then they'll say sorry for the interruption. It's that whole thing that they know, because the kids do the same thing, and the kids see the adults do the same thing. It just sets up that really good consistency right across the whole room.
Yeah, I think it is, for me, when I'm starting new school, it's all about teaching. So just control my stuff as best as possible within my classes. And then just once they start to get where I want to be, I start looking outward from there and sort of school community.
I think one of the hard things to do is that if you're relatively quite good in an area, i.e. behaviour or whatever else part of your thing, you can easily get put into dealing with a lot of other people's areas that they're not so good at.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I took on quite early in my earlier parts of my career, in the sense. But as I got older, you sort of have to sort of step back and allow them to figure it out for themselves, because you don't want to always come in and be the problem solver.
And it can be tough for teachers as well, because we are caring people, so you want to help people.
Yeah.
But then it can be limiting as well for that person, because they're not getting as much growth as they could.
Correct. And you don't want to enable them not to just always rely on someone else to fix their problems.
Yeah.
It's all about just trying to empower them. So just give an example, this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they do the same thing, that's totally entirely up to them, but you just give them an option of how they could probably, and just have those little quiet chats on the side, how we could improve each other's performance. That's at the end of the day, we do a lot of that without even, it's not being formal, but we do a lot of just keeping everybody sharp.
Sharpens iron. Red flags. So possible red flags. We kind of joked about it at the start. I like to say, you know, assign seating in the staff room, but I think so. These people sit here, these people sit there. I think that's probably not so much a red flag, but possibly could show the morale of a school, the experience of a school. We've got a lot of teachers been around for a while, they'll sit together. We've got a lot of new teachers coming in, no one really knows each other. So I think I'm thinking back to earlier days in my career where the average length of teacher's career was longer. So it's kind of, as a new person, you had certain sections that you sat in. Maybe it's just the schools I taught at. Maybe. And I was a prac teacher. I didn't even get a big table when I was a prac teacher. I got sat at the students' table.
Yeah.
Nothing, not for like a frat house pranker, because there was no tables around.
Yeah.
I was hard done by.
Look
at me now.
Like when you're talking about, if you're sitting in someone else's seat that you don't realise it's their seat.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's the rest of the staff members that give you the little side-eye looking thing.
Yeah.
I think, well, this guy's sitting in someone's seat, but you're none the wiser.
One of my first experiences of leadership, filled in for a head of department at the school I was at, was away on sick leave for a couple of months. I was just filling in. And the first senior staff I went to, I sat in the principal's chair, not knowing. And no one told me, because they knew. And he was actually playing really cool. He just kept talking, moving around. And at the end, like, you know, it was a chair. I was like, oh, he walked straight into that one, didn't mind. Well played, other people. I would have done the exact same thing. And then I think dealing with staff, you've got, you know, little internal politics and people coming to whinge into it and wanting to get onside and stuff.
Yeah.
I think maybe that sort of starts to heighten your awareness to possibly morale at the school or certain things happening.
Got to be careful on that one, in my opinion. It's part of you always want to be helpful and want to, you know, support the person. At the same time, you've got to not entertain it and prolong that form of whinging. It's quite amazing that this particular word come up, because it's one thing that a lot of teachers end up sort of wanting to do is to whinge about a certain thing. But you've got to also look on the other side of that. Are you reflecting on what you're doing or not doing? So it's one of those self-reflecting things. Yes, some people just like to vent. And that's a good thing. That's maybe a regulating thing for them, just to get it out.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily want you to fix anything or to help fix anything.
Yeah.
It could just be their way of just getting it out so they don't have to worry.
Is that a famous quote, isn't it? I'm probably telling it wrong. There's three sides to the story, your side, my side, and the truth.
Yeah.
That always, whenever I hear something, I always ring. So I'm like, even when I tell a story, I'm sure there's bias to it. I swear it's right in my head.
Yeah.
There's always bias to us. The other one, I think, is a big one, is, and it's probably a bit of a symbol of teaching these days. The people trying to tie your time up, which I don't necessarily think it's people being evil about stuff, but just when you're a classroom teacher, teaching in general, working education, you've got limited time. You want to be as effective as possible. If that's caught up with meetings and stuff like that, that can be a little bit draining and frustrating.
I don't like that side of things where people, because your time is actually quite precious. And I suppose when you're early into your teaching career, you sort of like don't realise. But as you get older, you sort of start becoming more protective of the time that you do have. And it's important because just to separate work from home life. And so what I do is when I leave, I made it a note a few years back to, I leave better than when I went into school. So if I left coming in, so if I come to school with high energy, I try to leave higher going out so that by the time I get home, it's not all just me dropping everything. And,
What was it? I remember saying a few episodes ago, the touching the tree one. What was that again?
Guy used to just touch his tree and put all his worries or all the issues that he may have throughout the day, and he will touch the tree as a symbol of just hanging it up.
Somewhere. Yeah, it's the offload, isn't it? Yeah. Because again, that's right, because now the teacher becomes a 24/7 job, and you're checking in, it just gets too much.
Under that mental health thing, I think they call it depersonalization.
Yeah.
But where you have to remove yourself from the actual thing and know that you can pick that up later on when you go back to school.
Yeah.
But when it's time to clock out, that's it.
Step away from it all. And again, these are just things that we've come across, red flags. Not saying that if you see those in a school, it means it's a bad school. It's just be aware of it to keep you as, you know, keep everything balanced, your well-being, your productivity.
And like if you're working in a school and you live locally, clocking off doesn't usually happen because you'll see kids out in the community.
Yeah, and your first school, my first school, you become almost like a C-grade celebrity walking around. You know, which is when I was young, loved it, but now you need your time away as well. Yeah, I mean, a pet peeve for me is having to constantly reinvent the wheel with stuff. That kind of ties into your time management. Your time is so scarce when you're there. Having to redo stuff just gets ridiculous after a while.
I look at, I think a couple of years ago, we had a look at this one of our programs. And we reassessed it because we found that it wasn't productive for the kids. So that was good. I liked that. So I don't mind putting in something like that to enhance or make the program better. As long as we're all on the same boat and everyone's rowing in the same direction, it's easy to be in the same boat, but everybody rowing in a different direction. So when you've got a program, i.e. when things have been set, sticking to the program is important because it lets all the others around you know that you are, this is where we're all up to. And even if you're out by a week or so, just as long as we have constant communication.
Never out by a week. Always on touch. Yeah. No, there is that. And when you are factoring carnivals and public holidays and stuff like that, easy to lose track and stuff. And that's right, because what's like me very much, if I've got my eyes planned for the day these days before I leave, so I just know if anything happens to me in the morning, everything's there ready to go, and that just reduces my stress load as well.
So I've just got a little whiteboard sitting on my desk, and it simply shows
with immaculate handwriting all over it.
Just simply telling us, just a reminder, a quick glance of what our sevens are doing between week one to week four.
Yes.
What the eights are doing week one to week four. And that way, you're just constantly reminding yourself. And these little things, for me anyway, helps me. So I'm not thinking, oh, geez, where are we up to? Just so that I know this is what we're up to, this is what we're doing. And then inside the room, how that correlates in the room is, the kids can see where the next assessment's coming in, what week it's coming in. So everyone is informed. Yes. The more informed the students are, the better it is for them. Yeah.
Information's the key, isn't
it? Absolutely.
So then the flip side of that, for the last talking point, what's some things we could recommend to staff starting in a new school? Look, I'm big on organisation. I don't think you have to be incredible. I do like to be very organized. I don't think you have to be necessarily, but you need some basic level organization teaching with everything happening all the time. There's a way to keep everything in check. And then I guess it's probably a control factor as well, that you can teach, especially tough schools, can get chaotic and very uncertain. So it's probably a way to control stuff there.
I'm done with that too. I like over planning in the sense, because you just never know. And you may not use it all, and that's okay. At least you've got contingencies if something is thrown into the mix that you didn't expect. So I like that as well. I like schools or departments that are well organised.
Yeah.
Pick up a program, have a look what's going on, where are we up to, bang, carry on.
Yep.
That's helped me because it's the less confusion, the easier it is for everyone.
I think, and then, yeah, on that, then as teaching well-being, I think it's if you're having a rough go with it, to start with, just work almost week by week or day by day.
Mm.
Don't think it's term one now, having it to term four.
Because
then, and I've done, you start spiraling. You just one by or day by day. And then after, if you get a month or two down the track and still not working and you put stuff in place, then you can look at other options.
Yeah.
But trying to think everything at once becomes too much. Just do yourself. Every time you leave, do get it off your shoulders the day it's done, and then every day is a new day.
That's right. As I was driving up here, I had a list to do before I got home or got to here, and that was simply just to make three phone calls to three different parents that I need to follow up with students who've done extremely well in their first assessment. And just little things like that.
Yep.
And even though it's just on my ride home and talking to the parents, just you start to create that positive reinforcement with the parents and with the kids, and then all of a sudden you watch them come back in the room, next session you have them, and they're just feeling on top of everything. Thank you so much.
Says that spark, which is big, which is really big. And then, look, the biggest thing for me, I'd say, for a new teacher at a new school to focus on is just building your professional reputation.
Correct.
I think once you've got that down, and it's not just you have to be perfect or you have to be right or wrong, it's just people know you and know what to expect.
Yep.
You can just go from there. So just focus on your classroom, focus on day by day, and just break it down to small steps. I think once you've built, your reputation, and you don't have to be the dominant one, or you just be professional in everything you do, it makes operating with people outside the classroom, so different colleagues, admin stuff, whatever, it makes all that networking and ecosystem a lot easier to maneuver around. Mm. And you disagree with people, but again, you see it as a professional, not a personal thing.
Correct. And sometimes that line can be obscured for some people, but that professionalism that you're talking about, in the sense of making sure that when you're at work, you're doing everything you can to make sure that you're doing your best job that you possibly can.
Yeah.
At the same time, one thing that I'll add another flavor to is enjoy doing the stuff that you're doing. You've got to have those moments of it's not always rigid. You don't have to be rigid. Find those little life moments where you can actually sit and laugh, enjoy the kids, crack up with them. And like one kid goes to me, something, 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 something. But if you notice, I like to talk. I said, yes, you do. And the whole class just cracked up like they thought I was roasting the kid. But I was just saying.
Just agreeing with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Just noticing his character traits.
Yeah.
Yes, then for me, the last point is the work-life balance. So it ties into everything you just said.
Yeah.
But teaching is just a job. It's not who you are.
Yeah.
You can be a very good teacher, but you've got your own life as well.
Correct.
And I think it's, especially in your early career, it can be. I mean, Michael Jordan had, didn't win championships until he got the best pieces around him. So you can be an incredible teacher, but everything around you is not working.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a personal thing. And if it is, just you, as long as you keep yourself accountable, keep yourself professional, you'll be heading in the right direction.
And there's nothing wrong with falling down. It's the way you get back up and keep going.
It definitely. Yeah. It's powerful.
Yeah.
I made plenty of mistakes today, as my year nines told me. And the EA in my room at the time. She's a great lady. Shout out to Miss Yu.
Uh-huh.
Final remarks on the topic. Go, just embrace it. Embrace new things. Embrace new schools.
Mm.
It might not be everything you want to start with, but hang in there. Give it a hot, red hot crack. And then if it's still not working for you, there's plenty of schools out there, especially where we're at now with teacher shortages.
Yep.
We need good teachers. So just if you can, do what you can to stay in the profession. Hang in there for a bit. Get support around you. Reach out.
Mm.
Look after yourselves.
Adding on to that, I would say just be your authentic you. Have a laugh with your colleagues, but at the same time, know where the line is and what you accept and what you don't accept. It's like you're constantly juggling and trying to keep everything afloat at the same time. If something falls down, the world will not blow up.
Yeah.
It just means that you'll just pick yourself back up and go again. As I said earlier, it's not all about just being rigid. It's also about going with life moments. When a teaching moment occurs in the room, sometimes it's out of the blue and it's more important that the kids jump on that than do so. You don't have to always be so rigid. Be rigid enough to be able to be flexible, if that makes sense.
I'm going to start calling you the Bruce Lee of Tichy. Be like water.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good. So like always, thank you for listening and we look forward to the next episode.
Thank you.